Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Got it.
Coffee and Carving Show.
Hey, everybody.
Howdy.
It's been a minute.
Episode 38. Here we are.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Well, right off the bat, apologies for last week. It should be noted that we lost our number one fan. But that's number one fan. I think she may have liked Alec more on the podcast, but
all right. Way to make me cry. First thing on the show.
No. So that was the reason we missed last week. My mummy went home. But anyway, funny story though. I was taking the elevator up to see her in the hospital, and I got to the top floor, and the elevator guy says, "Have a good day, Sonny." I says, "Sonny, don't call me Sonny. You're not my mom." And she says, "No, I brought you up, didn't I?"
What?
You're the worst.
That's the worst elevator joke I've ever heard. Because you're in an elevator. Here's how you did me wrong, okay? You told me a story about how your mom was the number one fan of the show. You got me teary-eyed. I'm thinking this is an angel from God coming to tell you that, you know, your mom's in this new person. And then I realize it's a joke and that it's because you're going downward on an elevator. That's what happened. Upward, rather. I raised you.
Yeah. I went up. The operator said, "I brought you up, didn't I?"
It's good, but it's. I feel like I'm in an emotional roller coaster right now, man.
Well,
let alone you. Sorry, man.
Grief, man. Well, the doctor suggested I try yoga to relieve some of the stress and anxiety. I said that sounds like a stretch.
You really tied these in with the current circumstances.
Oh.
What's funny about that is my neighbor just messaged me asking if I have a yoga mat. And you know what that tells me, Doug? That I must be a millennial, because if I give off the vibe that I have a yoga mat, no one's asking you if you have a yoga mat. No one will ever ask you.
No, I can see them asking you. Yes.
That hurts. And that hurts. That hurts right here.
Oh.
Anyway. Oh, he's got his nice hot cup of cold
can of dry ginger ale, because I am so thirsty. I worked outside all day today.
Did you really?
Sweat buckets.
Yeah.
But that said, our coffee heroes, well, over the last 2 weeks, really, are John Bart, Shawnee, and Lee. So thanks, guys.
Appreciate the
coffee and the little push to keep going. That's what it is. So thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Wow. Now, what have you been up to? We have a story.
Yeah.
We could start out together with our story of what have we been up to.
Let's do it.
All right. I was minding my own business at work, and I received a phone call from one young Alec saying, "Hey, I'm here, so-and-so place." He says, "Don't you live around here?" I said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I'm skipping across Canada to go to my carving course I'm teaching." And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, you're very close." And Alec popped in to visit.
That's right. Yeah, and we went into his... I didn't know what to expect. What's funny is, the moment I thought of it, I saw that I was passing the name of your town, which escapes me.
Which is good.
Right. not the name of your town, but rather the larger area, right? obviously I wouldn't mention your address, but what I was really struck by is the beautiful place that you work and the way you maintained it very nicely. You know, you talk about the renovations that you're doing on this building and just updating everything. And I mean, you're a skilled guy, Doug, and I know based on your carving, you do good work, but you're an excellent craftsman. So admired that. And, but it was weird because when I first realized that I was passing the, I don't know, you don't really have, it's not a township. It's a, counties, but your county essentially, I was nervous at first, like, wait, Doug is here. I have to text him. Then I looked at Annalise and I said, are we going to try and meet Doug? She's like, yeah, I'd be down for that. We could do it. You know, we could do it now. We could do it on the way back, whichever you prefer. So I said, well, I think we're passing it right now. So let me give him a call. So here's how ignorant we are. We thought that we didn't have access to data on our phones because we were in Canada.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's been done away with since like probably the early 2000s for us with Verizon. You've had long distance free to Canada forever. So we were there. I thought, you know, this is how much I wanted to meet you. I turned my phone data on before I got a text from my brother saying, Alec, you get free roaming in Canada. So anyway, long story short, we went over to see you, and the nerves wore away by the time we got there because, you know, of course, it's just a weird scenario, but how weird could it be, right? Just a couple of guys meeting up.
But it was strange,
hey? Wasn't it? Yeah,
it was strange. It was very strange. After talking for a year or so,
yeah.
On the podcast, we have never met folks.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that was the first time. So.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. It felt like a strange foreign experience. Like I was meeting a stranger and a friend at the same time. But it was delightful. I mean, it put a smile from ear to ear. And the best part was I got to meet your family. You brought your family with you and they were super sweet.
Your wife, it just happened. Cool. She was out shopping down the road and I said, "Get over here."
Yeah.
Cuz I had
Annalise with me as well, my fiance. Yep. And yeah, it was a happy reunion. So now, if we ever do a wife edition of the podcast, it won't be the first time we've met, or Annalise has met you guys. So anyway, yeah, it was, we just kind of walked around, explored, where you work and, it was beautiful. Well, man.
To be fair, you were on the go. We weren't sitting down having supper or nothing.
Yeah.
You were on the fly.
We had an hour. We had about an hour. Yeah.
So,
but one thing I realized, we're far, but it's doable. So we'll have to do something in the future again.
Yeah, no, for sure. I believe you owe me a carving lesson anyway.
That's true. So. Yeah. We did a trade, didn't we? So yeah, I was headed to Buffalo from Michigan, and it turns out the fastest way to do that is in driving through Canada. So we did that and took the Blue Water Bridge through Detroit and
the
Ambassador Bridge. That's what it was.
No.
And it was. I hate to say this, but Canada is awesome. For the most part, everywhere we stopped, people were very polite to us. You know, there was a lot of thank yous. We went to an ice cream shop. There was a woman holding the door open for us when we walked in and asking us how our day was and if we needed, you know, any water. We have never experienced that at a coffee shop, at an ice cream shop ever once in the States.
For real?
Never once has there been somebody to open the door for us at a store. And not only that, people are polite. You know, there are manners. I think maybe you mentioned that Americans are a little bit more reserved or maybe a little bit more fearful. Not so with you guys.
No, that's, it's a natural mm-hmm. thing. I don't doubt that there's not some nice Americans out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've yet to find it.
You just had a good experience, so that's good. That's good.
We did, and
we represented well.
And so naturally, driving by, of course, we saw you, and then on the trip, on the way to the trip, we drove through Niagara, and so we decided that on the way back we had to stop there. And so, of course, that entails
Canadian side, American side.
Oh yeah, this is the controversy. We did the Canadian side.
Attaboy.
Well, if you drive through, you notice that the Canadian side is just
three times as big.
And just cleaner and nicer, and which seems to be the case in most of the towns we visited, like just cleaner, nicer, lots of kids playing in neighborhoods, safe looking from the outside looking in. So
you mentioned the border was a breeze on my end, but how was the Niagara side, the Buffalo side?
There was a woman there who, when I pulled up, she looked at me, and I swear she looked at me. She looked right through me. She like saw into my being, into my core. And when she asked me questions, I've never seen someone's eyes so invasive. She said, "What are you doing here?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, do I have any contraband or like weapons?" I questioned it for a second.
Yeah.
Like,
but like, there wasn't a big wait though.
No, the worst wait was coming back into Detroit. We were in, of course, we picked the bum line that took, you know, an hour for us to just, you know, three cars. You know, some guy was probably mouthing off to her or not sure where he was going, and so it caused her to question him.
Yeah. So, because I figured going in, you must have hit it just right, because it's just timing, right? If you hit the wrong time, that could be backed up for miles. Hmm. So. But I'm so bad at borders. I'm the worst. Mm. I am so, I don't know, I guess you say anti-authority or whatever. Mm. And so I always appear guilty before. So many times, probably, I'm probably batting 50% getting pulled over and having my vehicle searched.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, when you're in the airport, do they pull you aside ever and search you?
No, airport's been okay.
See, that's because... You don't look like me with this hair. Yeah. I get every single time I've been to an airport, it seems like at least maybe 60% of the time, somebody comes up and says, "Excuse me, sir, we're just doing a random search." You know, I look around. No, I'm the only Arabic looking guy here. I'm not Arabic, but I'm the only Arabic looking guy.
So. Well, it's gotten easier though, even when they do pull you over. Cause it used to be, I remember one time I went by myself. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And they pulled me over, and they just rifled through my vehicle, pulled everything out in the parking lot, laid it all out in the parking lot, took hubs and things off the motor, and left everything in there, and said, "Okay, you're good to go." I said, "What? Yeah, go ahead, put your stuff back together." I said, "Well, you ripped it apart. You put it back together. Like, we're talking engine cowlings and stuff and all that." I'm like, "This is ridiculous." But anyway. Now the last few times that they've done that, they just say pull over, and they just drive, wait till they have a whole line of cars, and then they just have some detector mobile that drives around your vehicle. You just have to get out and leave your keys there, stand beside, and they just drive up and down each side of your vehicle.
I'm told that when you drive into those, they can actually hear what you're saying, like in line. They have sonar. And if you say anything, you know, if you say bomb or something, or do you have the bombs or something like that, apparently they'll pull you over. So I said, Annalise, we can't make any jokes about bombs or say anything mean about anything relating to Canada when we get into the border.
Dear. I doubt that's true, but it's a good wife's tale anyway.
Right.
Hope it's not true.
I do too.
Maybe that's why I get pulled over. Here comes those stinking border guards.
I do want to say before I get, I want to ask you what you've been up to. Niagara wine. You mentioned a while back that kind of the place that everyone gets wine from as far as Canada goes is Niagara region.
Oh yeah, and I couldn't understand that.
I was telling you. Here's what I said, or at least what I remember. I said was. That can't be good. No one talks about Niagara wine. I've never heard any sommelier or any wine person talk about Canadian wine before, right? I've never heard it personally. They always talk about, you know, French and Italian and Spanish countries. And anyway, we stopped at a little on our way back. We stopped to get dinner in Niagara on the lake, and stopped at a vineyard and got dinner and a glass of wine. And that was probably, if not the best, one of the top three glasses of wine I've ever had. So I tested that theory again. We stopped for dinner. We stayed there for a few more hours. Not for dinner. We stopped. Yeah. Like an early dinner. So it was an early lunch and then an early dinner. And I got another small glass of wine, third best glass of wine I've ever had. I mean, it was all local stuff. I made sure to order. It was just very tasty. So I was wrong, and I admit it.
Attaboy. Yeah, no, they're known for their wine region there. It's and there's some beautiful countryside there too. Yep. When you get out and it's gorgeous over there.
Yeah,
you get out in the country, but yeah.
No, it was just pretty. The hills and the water and just Niagara itself is just so well kept and just a beautiful place to walk through. So I'm glad we cut out some time on the way back to see it. Mm-hmm. But one thing about Canada I noticed that I wanted to say too is we were driving past Costco and it was late. We had already wasted a lot of the day, you know, doing tourist things. And so I said, I'd be curious what their Costco looks like. I need to go there. She's like, we can go there if you're curious. We can go. She's sweet. So pull off the freeway. We go into Costco. You know, she's got work the next day. So she's like, oh boy, this is great. Okay. Everything is different. Almost to an extent that made me feel like I wasn't even in Costco. I mean, everything. There were, you know, professional mixers and stands, and there were giant packages of unboxed hot sauces and crazy deals on drinks and all this stuff I've just never seen. And when you factor the prices into it, it's the cheapest possible way to get food. It's so much cheaper than anything we have in America, than our Costco, let alone anything else. And when we walked out of there, we had, you know, I had my cart full of groceries, right, from Canada. I see on the sign, it says Costco commercial. It's their commercial Costco. We don't have those, but you guys have somewhere in Ontario a commercial Costco where restaurants shop. And I think
that's just our Costco, I think.
I don't know, because we stopped at another Costco. You're going to laugh at me. We stopped at another Costco, and that one was a little bit more normal. You had a lot. Seriously, the deals you could get at both of those Costcos blew my mind. A bag of apple chips this big, the size of my face, for like $3 American. Right? And that would have been like $20 in the States. So anyway, I digress. But you guys have the right. The Costco there rules.
So now all your groceries have French on them?
Yeah, right. It's true. It's fun. Yeah. That's kind of neat, honestly. But
well, there you go. Alex's vacation to Costco's.
That's the show will be called.
Touring the Costco's worldwide.
So what about you, man? We could talk forever. We have 2 weeks to cover, but we can come back to me. What's going on in your world?
Well, last week was pretty much a write-off. Lots of of stuff to do with the mother and father too. He's left there, and so lots of organizing and planning and funerals and all that that goes with it. But I still had to get my work done and carry on. But just before that, though, I had made a video, and I put that up on YouTube where I did the giant gnome face.
Oh, that's awesome! That's solid,
kind of a fun one.
Do you leave him wood?
This one I did.
I like that.
I just painted the eyes. And
I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I might do that more often.
That's so cool.
I do like the eyes painted, but then with the rest just oiled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun video, but maybe they'll find it this winter because no one's watching carving videos in the summer.
Right.
And Yeah, and last week too, I just farted around in my spare time. I was just making a bunch of these little comfort birds. I actually had a plan. Everybody thought, oh, I'm making comfort birds because my mother died, but I was already in the works.
Mm.
And you can't see them, but
oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, you've got walnut, fun maybe bass,
butternut. I still have a piece of the Huon pine, and this is basswood. But they're fun. The idea behind them is that they're not super detailed. They're just little fidget birds, really.
Yeah,
they just play with them, and like they do get a patina over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I've given these away before. I know one guy's got them on his desk, and he's always playing with it. He's on the phone or whatever, and fidgeting, and they're fun.
Yeah,
so I like put it. I put eyes on one,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't like it. I like this, just that minimalist no eyes. I felt like I wanted to cut the eyes off after.
Hmm.
I like this, just the simplicity, but that's what I've been carving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I didn't tell you was I was also signed up. Have you ever heard the name Charles Banks?
Mm-mm.
And I'm going to guess you probably haven't.
No.
But he is my new, he studied a lot under Harley Refsell. And he's kind of just starting out to do some teaching and stuff. And he's fantastic. He's kind of pioneering this new flat plane carving, but he's also layering the wood. I wish I could pull up a picture, but the way that he does it, he'll glue a piece of wood onto, he'll glue pieces of wood, like 3/4 inch wood, to give layers, but still a flat plane look. So let me, this is not my pick of the week, but anyway, the point of my whole story is that I signed up for his class in Iowa.
Did you? No way.
I did.
Nice.
But then, and then the next day I had to cancel.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I was all excited for a whole day. But let me show you guys. So he did, I'm sorry, audio, but I'm going to show a picture. But because I just like the way that he does his guys. Like, he does them in, like, he layers them.
Mm.
So there's like 3/4 inch layers. So his arms aren't really carved. The arms are added. I'll give you another example here.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really excited because, like I said, he's a real, he's not an up and comer. He's very experienced, but he had no social media presence or anything.
Oh, wow.
And he said it was always kind of a little secret, but.
Oh, yeah.
You can
see. Oh, there you go. Now I can see it.
You see how there's like layers to it?
Yeah, so he laminates.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it gives really good shadows and stuff. But I was excited to take the class, but then, alas, I had to cancel. But
where was anyway, it in Iowa? Where was it in Iowa?
Decorah at the Westerheim Museum, or was school or whatever it is. Yep.
I think I have, at least. I think so.
So if you're listening to this right now, hello, class in Iowa, because it's probably going on right now.
Mm.
So, but I could not go. It would have ended up, it's a good, I think it was probably a 13-hour drive.
Mm.
So a day driving on each end, and then the class, I couldn't leave. I didn't want to leave my dad right now for 5 days. No. So yeah. What else do I got here? I wrote down dream. What was the dream? Oh, this is hilarious. I told my wife this morning, but she could care less. So you'll appreciate this. I have to tell someone who can relate.
Oh, no. What is it?
Do you remember your dreams?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, and I had the greatest adventure and a dream. And I was along a riverbank. I'm guessing I was in Winnipeg. I'm thinking that because I know that what's her buddy Lucas.
Was Lucas in your dream?
I don't know if I saw Lucas or not, but I believe I was on the Winnipeg River, and I was just walking there, and I was picking up pieces of cottonwood bark that were as big as my leg.
What?
They were just everywhere.
And then, this is an awesome dream.
Right?
And
when I found them, I said, holy smokes. And then I started stacking them up, and I made piles. And I can remember just keep walking down the river. And I sent my wife with the truck. and said and told her where the piles were to go collect the piles while I kept finding more. And I was just walking along picking up massive chunks of cottonwood bark. I have never had a crazier, I've never had a carving related dream.
Wow.
But it was, I must have had, went to bed with cottonwood bark on the brain.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. I wish it was real.
Oh.
Big pieces.
My first
maybe
thought...
Maybe I did because my artist of the week may have planted something in my head. So I'll save that for later. But maybe I did have cottonwood bark on the brain when I went to bed.
I was going to say you have a new level of commitment to carving if it's invading your dreams. I don't know how many dreams I've had about carving. I feel like I should.
I don't think I've ever had a dream about carving.
Or about cottonwood bark.
Nope, not cottonwood bark either. So there you go. I don't know why I wrote that down, but it's a good story.
Yeah, it is. It's,
but otherwise,
it's hilarious, man, because there's not a better feeling. I don't know. Maybe there is probably a better feeling, but there are not a lot of better feelings for a wood carver who knows about bark.
Well, this is
to find a part of bark like that. Yeah.
Well, this is setting him up for great disappointment.
Yes,
if I ever go bark hunting,
the size of your leg. Yeah, you get that. I did get to buy a piece like that, but yeah, it's hard to find.
Spread all over. Yep. So, tell me all about your little adventure and your teaching and everything that you were up to in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, so like I said, we were in Buffalo, and it was this little town. And man, we were worried because we got spoiled driving through Canada. It's pretty. Everything's nice and clean. We got into the States again, into New York. And no offense, all of you who are from New York, but I don't know. It was nice. But the part that we were in, these little towns we kept driving by as we got closer. And mind you, we didn't have any photos of the town of Alden. There aren't any towns, pictures on the internet. So all we see is a road with a little building next to it. So we're driving by all these little towns and we're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm thinking this at least. I think this is the first event that my fiance has come with me to, no, second event. The first one really set our expectations high because it was on the beautiful campus of Doan. And now we're going to stay in one of these little towns. Looks like, you know, home of serial murderers, really. I mean, I'm serious. It's like little old dilapidated buildings on the freeway. And that's the town. And it says, oh, welcome to the town of Horseburger or something. And it's like,
Horseburger.
What the heck? I don't want to stay here. Oh, it looks like we're only 4 miles away. Annalise, great. You know, from Alden. So we pull into Alden. It's starting to look bad. It's more of these, like, the kind of old rundown homes on the side of the freeway. It's starting to get more populated, but it doesn't, there's nothing cute about it. So I'm just resigning to the fact we'll be in a hole. And it's a risk you take, I guess. Sure enough, it turns into an adorable town. I mean, we get into the town and there's a big triangle. It's almost like a town, instead of a square, it's like a town triangle. And it's, you know, it's got like a beautiful gazebo. It's got like a creative arts theater. And there's a bunch of kids with all the doors open performing a live play. And there's restaurants and cutesy shops. And we're just like, oh my gosh. I had a smile literally from ear to ear. Like, you know,
good.
We've got her hoodwinked for at least another event that it's going to be a life of, you know, staying at nice places. And our hosts, Dot and Ken Cole, if you ever get the opportunity to take a class with them, they are sincerely some of the most generous and fun and funny people. And they hosted the event. It was a small class. We did it outside. And one of the students filmed, actually, his father invented flex cut knives. And he brought a few of the prototypes because his father has since passed and was a friend of the carving community, a friend of Ken and a friend of many. And he, you know, he ended up selling the patent to a company, which ended up turning it into FlexCut. But the tools didn't look a lot like FlexCut tools, didn't have quite the flex, but they looked nice. They looked really nice. And I guess FlexCut, you know, didn't do very, they did a poor job of mocking his tools, and then only recently have they gotten better. He said that they've really gotten a lot better in the last few years, so kudos to them. But as far as other highlights, we just had a great class. I mean, the students were nice. Like I said, I had one of the guys, the FlexCut dude, father, son of the FlexCut founder, film the class so I can make it available to people on the site, and kind of an idea that I stole from a friend. And man, just a beautiful little time. It rained for most of the class. That was kind of rough. My reference photos were all getting wet, and we were under a tent, but you know how wind is and rain and such. So everyone's feet were wet for 2 days, and the last day it was really nice. And so day and a half actually, it was nice. So
What'd you make? What'd
we
you teach?
did, yeah. So I taught. Here's the trick: everyone chose something different, or at least most of the people had different carving ideas. They had brought their own references. And one person wanted to carve a green man. One person wanted to carve this picture of a guy that they know. One person wanted to carve a person in history, you know. And so only two of the people, I think, wanted to carve what I had in mind, which was Sitting Bull, because I'd just come off of doing a big portrait. I felt confident that we could get some people kind of close to that. And yeah, I wish I had uncovered all the carvings that I made this past week for this for an event, but. Yeah, we and even from that class, which is what reminded me of that. But it worked out well. Everyone got pretty far along. Most people finished their carvings. From my memory, I think maybe a couple didn't. A few didn't, maybe three. Which is okay. I mean, the objective is to learn stuff, right? I guess, hopefully, and so not necessarily to finish a carving. But we had fun. It was good. I'm spoiled. These last two or three classes I've taught. But you know, it's good and it's bad. They're smaller. And that is that is awesome. Small classes are just so much more relaxed. There's so much more time. No one's upset at you for spending more time with someone else than you did with them. And it's you know what I've learned too though is just to chill out. I get in front of these classes sometimes and my first thought is, how do I give these people the value that they that they deserve? And what that does is it ends up subtracting from the class for me, at least personally. I end up getting spazzy. I end up running around. I'm like that anyway, but I'm nervous. I'm twitchy. When I just relax and try to enjoy the event, and when there's less people, it's just so much easier to do that and just be a better teacher. So.
Let me dig in a little bit more on that. Curiosity is getting me tools. They bring their own tools.
You know, some people they do, and some instructors, which I'm really jealous, make the students bring their own wood too. How about and their fixture, everything. I would love to start doing that.
Because I wonder if there's like a 5-tool mandatory
It's turned into six.
tool list. Six?
Yeah. It's a. I don't need to say it now, but I could. I mean, yeah, I could, but it's
No, but you have a
it's a
set
set. Yeah. Yeah.
of six that are would be ideal.
Yep.
So people show up with tools.
Yep, 6 or 7 tools and then some
Good.
clamps and but it's it really is it's something that challenges me. Every time I do it, I feel a little bit like, oh boy, I'm doing this. This is intense. But it always ends up working out and people for the most part are just so generous and kind. And one of the guys named Joel was gifted by his brother. I think the coolest guy ever. He's a giant. His I think his nickname was a giant guy. No, I don't know. It was something. He drove in with a brand new Ford Raptor that his brother hit the jackpot and gifted it to him.
Wow.
He invested in chips. Can you imagine? Literally 2021 or 2020, brand new blue Ford Raptor. Beautiful truck, $80,000 truck. So jealous. And anyway, he brought some like salt, like some mustards and sauces from New York at the last day of class because we had gone out to eat. And they have this mustard in New York that's Laney's or something or Cheney's. I don't know what it is. It's something something that's got a little spice to it, and oh, it's good. So their thing is beef on whack or weck. That's a big New York buffalo thing. It's basically like a roast beef sandwich, but there's like a I think it's a Jewish type bun, what, or maybe it's a German, I can't remember, German or Jewish bun. What a thing to confuse. But it has too much salt on it. And then it's dunked in some French au jus, and then they put the roast beef in between with the horseradish, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good, but just to mess with everyone, I kept mispronouncing it. You know, I would say, "Man, thanks guys for taking me to get that beef untaxed. It's really nice that it's really nice that out here they don't tax you on that beef, because out where we are, man, they get you on those sandwiches." And so they didn't get it. They really thought I was super confused the whole time.
You have Arby's, eh?
Oh yeah,
I love Arby's.
I do too. You don't have it?
Oh no, I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Arby's when you said the beef and the bun and the horseradish, because I always put the horsey sauce all over it. Like,
yeah,
so good, so good.
It's good. I don't like horseradish, but it's good on the roast beef sandwich. So
yep. Well, the horsey sauce is not really the real horseradish. It's more of a horseradish mayo. It still has the flavor, but it doesn't have the grit of the ground up radish. But
oh yeah, I mean, I've never had that, but I like Arby's. I always, growing up, Arby's was one of my faves. So but anyway, so coming back from this trip, I had an art show like 2 days, or well, a few days after that, this past weekend, and it was this thing I told you I wasn't going to talk about, which I can talk about now. It was a demonstration piece that was also a interactive thing where little kids could carve on the piece that I, or paint on the piece that I had carved. And what I decided, well, let me back up. Woman calls me. She says, "Hey, I'm from Farmington Hills. It's a big city in our area. I'm from Farmington Hills, and we want to create an interactive exhibit. Will you be a part of it?" And I said, you know, we kind of worked out the details, went back and forth, and I said I would do it. You know, I charge a demonstration fee. And so she said, "That's cool." And I described her. She's like, "Well, what are you thinking? We can do anything." And, you know, at one time that would have made me nervous, but this kind of made me excited. So I just said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm working on right now, and you can green or red light it. I'm working on a woman," and I said, "This is probably the first time I've ever done this, and maybe you're going to think I'm hoity-toity, but I've created a piece in my head with meaning behind it. And the idea is to have a woman with flowing hair, flowers in it, a cat hiding, and then a bird. And I want the cat to be kind of attacking the bird." And I thought of this piece with the help of some friends, because I heard a podcast and they talked about freedom, and do we really have freedom, or is it a chemical reaction in our brain that happens first and then we think we're making a decision? We're just deterministic beings, I think that's the philosophical word for it. Or anyway, long story short, I designed this piece on crappy drawing, and I asked everyone on the show who's been listening what you guys thought. You picked the one that I chose, and she said, "Yeah, let's do that. That'd be great." I'm like, "Really? For the kids, you know?" Like, they okay. So I made this piece. I omitted the cat because I was just thinking,
Good. Because I saw the picture and I said, "I don't see a cat. Am I supposed to see
the
cat?"
Yeah, I got rid of the cat. Well, the reason why, I just thought that's too much work to just have some little kids painting all over, if I'm being honest, you know?
Like, well, I can see, and to be fair, I can see a bird in the hair. But I can't see really a cat in the hair.
Yep. Yeah.
That's kind of heavy. Heavy for the hair.
Yeah, it's too big. Yeah, it's too big. And so I thought, well, there goes my idea of trying to make some hoity-toity, you know, carving that Doug will laugh at me for creating this big hitting meaning behind it. And it went away, and I was carving it, and all of a sudden I had this idea, because I turned it into a lesson for the school. And I took the bird, and I started thinking, well, what if the bird is, so if the bird represents freedom, what if I like rough him up and kind of make him look like hair? So you can't really tell if there's a bird there or hair. And then it conveys this same idea, which is, are we really free? Yeah, yeah, yeah. you can't put him in your beard anymore. Doug is holding up his comfort bird in his hand. So the idea was, you know, laugh at this as you may, but it was that, you know, when you look at it, the bird, and I only told this to one or two people who walked by who were really interested, but the bird, you can't really tell if it's there, so it alludes to maybe freedom not being, is it real or is it just an illusion? Wow. Steve.
Yes.
So here's the result. Little kids, I posted this up, and a bunch of little kids started painting on it. My buddy texted me this picture. This was at its coolest point. I'm going to show you what it looks like now. But the end of day one, it actually looked kind of wild, right? These are little kids doing this.
Oh, wow.
That
very
was
colorful.
Yep, very colorful. But one of the little girls said, "Oops, it's got a tear."
Yeah.
And I said, "No, that's great. Leave it. That's cool." And so, yeah, so she left it. But I mean, the hair was just, you know, you could tell a bunch of little girls were for better or for worse, kind of adding a lot to it that I didn't necessarily expect. Here's what it looks like now. Let me go grab it.
Very, more muted.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Her face has color too.
She has a new nationality now. I'm not sure what it is, but it's purple. So
that's very, it's actually really fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. So you can see the birds kind of there in the mix of things kind of woven in the hair, and that's it. So
the that could have been a mermaid-y feel too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it does really have that vibe to
with
it.
The hair, the way that the hair flicks at the back is like a wave almost, eh?
Yeah,
that's fun.
Is it? That's good. I hired a young man, a 15-year-old, almost 16-year-old young man to help me, you know, little Samuel, or young Samuel. He's going to hate me calling him that. He's old. To film for the school. And he helped me make this video for this carving and saw it finished and was so like, dude, he was depressed for the whole day. He saw the way it was painted and he says, dude, you can't even see the detail, man. You can't even see the detail. Like, oh, why'd you let him do that? You know?
I saw that you had introduced Sam on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and I refrained because I was typing out going, oh, finally someone smart in the shop or something.
Yeah. You should have. He would have loved that. He would have eaten that up and agreed because that kid is smart. He has a lot of good ideas in here. So just sitting around, we're looking at stuff, and he's like, man, that chin needs to come down. And I was like, holy cow. This kid's right. He's onto something. So
yeah,
but
that's fun.
Yeah, and so other than that, what else is there to talk about? I don't know. That's my first time.
No, I want to hear what you did in in Niagara Falls. Did you do the touristy stuff, or you just went through?
Yeah, I did. We did the touristy stuff. We drove through, but we left early enough to go on the Misty Maid or whatever.
Maid of the Mist.
Yep. Maid of the Mist. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we did that. We were on the Canadian side. They gave us the red tunics. And I thought of you. I took a picture of us in red tunics next to a ship with a bunch of blue people. So these were the blue people. You know, these were the Americans on the American side.
Side. Yeah.
They're on that ship somewhere. Blue little blobs. And this is Annalise, you know.
Did your when they got right up to the falls, did your heart flutter at all, thinking you'd get sucked in?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, it was she wanted to do. I could tell she wanted to do the zip line, but we went on that boat, and once we got close to that thing, that was probably equally or more intense.
It is pretty intense when you get right up close to the falls there. And I'm not sure if they turn the motor off or they just rev it up when you're trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
But either way, my heart's always a little bit flutters.
Yeah.
A little nervous. And the same when you walk underneath of it. There's tunnels underneath of it.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
You can stand.
You've done
right
that?
In there. Yeah. And I.
Oh, I man. Like I want to do that. Oh, really? Like it. Creeps you out?
Yeah. It creeps me out because you're way down. You go down all these dark hallways and tunnels and stuff, and then you come out at the back of the falls.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, ugh.
I'm glad we didn't do that.
I wouldn't be a good miner. I'd be a terrible miner.
Oh, yeah. You're out there carving faces in little coal pieces, you know?
Yeah.
You're supposed to move 4 meters today.
This thing's going to fall down on me.
I've carved a bunch of little friends that are scared too.
We're all scared.
We're scared to down here, man. So yeah, we were just, it was crazy. The wind from the water falling down, it's just insane. I mean, yeah, she was in for a wild ride there. That was, she was screaming. Yeah, that was beautiful, though. The fact that that's so close to us and even closer to you, that's neat.
Yeah, it's neat. They've really built up the whole area, too. It's very touristy all around. Like, they got all the Ripley's museums and all the $8 Whoppers. And
yeah,
it's the only place I've ever been to that they jack up the fast food prices because it is Niagara Falls. I don't think I've been anywhere else that. Otherwise, it's pretty uniform right across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And like Niagara Falls on the main strip is like, hey, we can't pay the rent here. Jack her up.
So. Yeah. Annalise, when we were there in Alden back in Buffalo before this whole excursion, met a friend. We went to this gift shop on lunch during my class, and she saw this really nice little shop. We walked in and cutesy shop with this girl in the back. And she made friends with this girl, and we walked back. She said, you know what? I'm going to go study over there. She said, I can go study at her store. I said, oh, cool. Because she's doing homework while I'm teaching. And so I call her up when the class is ended, and I say, hey, it's 5 o'clock. We're going to go to lunch or dinner rather. You ready? And she's like, oh, we just got to this store. I was like, store? She's like, yeah, we just got to this store. And I said, Annalise, you let this girl drive you somewhere? She's like, yeah, but she's like, she knows all the people from my college, and she's a young girl. She's really cool. She's a Christian woman, really nice person, trying to make me feel better. I'm like, you can't just get in a car. So I'm curious your take, Doug. I was like, you can't just get in a car with a woman you met 4 hours ago, even if you hit it off, in a foreign town. I called my brother panicking, and he was like, yeah, dude, just hang out with her. It's probably fine.
Yeah. But, I wouldn't worry about.
Yeah. See, you're Canadian though. I'm American. I was so paranoid. I was like, oh no, my fiance. We have each other's like GPS coordinates. So I like checked when she got off the phone. I checked to see where she was, how far she was, and my thing was wigging out, and it showed that she was just in some random parking lot. I'm like, oh, that's it. She's abducted. She's a slave trade girl now.
Well, she's cute. She's stealable.
Yep. Yep. So that's it for her. So no, it was just one of the many little journeys that we went through. So, but she was fine, and she was a really sweet. She ended up being a really sweet girl. She took us to a rodeo that her family put on, the people that she knows put on, and which was a thing in and of itself, because they couldn't really. The whole thing was comprised of them trying to get this bull back into its cage so they could keep doing these other things. We were there for an hour, and probably 45 minutes of that was this bull, trying to get free constantly. They threw they had the cowboy on the horse with the, the lasso over top his horns. And then of course the bull runs so fast, it pulls the lasso right out of the cowboy's hands. And then all these guys are chasing the end of the lasso on foot. It's just hilarious. I mean, they tried endlessly to get this stupid bull back in its cage and just couldn't. They just ran around yelling at it, and it was, the whole show was just almost ruined. Finally, they got to, have you heard of barrel runs? I think it's called barrel running.
Yeah, for sure.
I had it. Almost every kid knocked the barrels over. It was it was a shame. It was still cute to watch. And so that, it's like, oh man, it looks like Karen knocked the first one down. Oh, and the second one's down too.
Well, the whole idea of teaching does not appeal to me as a teacher, but I like the idea that you can go somewhere, meet all these new people, and check out a new, it's a paid vacation, a little bit of work, which is, you still enjoy the work too. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that you get to travel and feed yourself.
It's nice to hear someone say that, because when you do it a bunch, you still get nervous, and I have pre-class anxiety about all my classes, and so I almost, secret truth about me, I always feel like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this, I have to do it, I gotta go. And then I get there, and I do all the prep, and I get there, and I always end up enjoying myself.
Always works out. Yeah, works out. I bet.
So Wow, I talked a lot. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Someone said, Doug, I'm so glad you didn't let that other guy do the show without you last week.
I saw that. I was going to delete it. I said, no, I want him to see it.
It really made that one made me laugh, though. That was pretty good.
I wanted to comment
and say, thank God, right? You know,
it wasn't even that it was, I'm glad you didn't let Alec do it alone. It was like, I'm glad you didn't let that other guy. That was my favorite part.
Oh, what a jerk. What a jerk. So anyway, we've got a mailbag, don't we?
We just have one question, but there's a job for you in that question. So look it up and it's all you.
Okay. Let's do it.
It's from Germany, I believe.
Okay, I'm there. All right. Greetings, Doug and Alec. My name is Julius. I'm from Germany. Doug, you lit the flame of carving again in my heart. Alec, German, the German accent is yours to try. She wrote, say German. Okay, the joke. Oh, gosh. Now I'm nervous because this woman's German. At the Olympic training camp, a sprinter asked his seat neighbor, are you a pole vaulter? The man replied, pretty annoyed, I'm a German, and don't call me Walter. My name is Klaus. Thank you, Julius. That's so nice.
That's a good one. I like that because the Walter, Walter. Jesus, Walter. That's good.
Nice of you to send a joke. First aid kits are like carving sets you pay for. First aid kits are like carving sets you pay for stuff you're probably never going to use. Mm-hmm. I love the phrasing there. What have you in your first aid kit, or do you go with the prepackaged kits? I cut myself pretty bad once, and I was digging through useless stuff while bleeding. Kind regards. Mm-hmm. Hey.
I'll give you my take on that. Because I too have changed it too. I used to always carry a first aid kit, especially when we're camping and stuff. And some of that stuff is still a good idea.
Yeah.
And that said, then I always have some like Benadryl and ibuprofen and stuff. But for carving sake, I'm down to like heavy duty Elastoplast, the cloth Band-Aids.
Oh yeah.
And I always have super glue now. I've learned that when I cut myself bad, I'll never continue without super glue.
Yep.
I need that super glue to get it back together. And I've cut myself. I remember, I think I may have told the story before, but I drove like an hour to the beach to do a little old salty fisherman carving on the beach. Mm-hmm. And I was just unrolling my tool roll. Mm-hmm. And one chisel, flat ground, was sticking out. Mm-hmm. A little bit farther when I unrolled it, and I sliced my finger so bad, and I thought, I have to go home. I drove an hour, and I have to go home because my finger's bleeding like a stuck pig. Mm-hmm. And then I got back to the truck. I think I may have the story wrong, but anyway, I ended up, I did dig out some super glue and save the day. Otherwise, I'd be going home because a Band-Aid doesn't really stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, so...
No, I did the same, not the same thing, but I was rushing to get carvings, finished right before this art show that, by the way, I sold nothing at. I sold a single carving at, which was because I was placed, little did I know, I should have known this, in the kids section of the art show, off to the very side by the Starbucks where there weren't any people. So.
Oh, so you had a pre-interview then?
What do you mean? A pre-interview.
So you met with them first, and they just assumed that
correct.
You're a child.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I missed that. My childlike sensibilities caused me to miss your joke. But, very poorly there. But they did, they paid me for the demo, and so it worked out okay. But, I did cut myself late in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., trying to rush to finish things, and I went right in with a little, you know, 4 millimeter or 5 millimeter 7 gouge, and it just went right in the inside corner,
all the way
into my nail, and so that one hurt. So I just super glued it shut, and every time it opened back up, just super glued it.
Well, I'll tell you one more thing about super glue too. On that same carving, because I've done this in the past too, if you just put a Band-Aid on, you may be able to carve. But soon enough, your Band-Aid is going to be filled with blood, and you're putting these bloody fingerprints on the carving all over the place. I remember trying to finish a video one time, and I was just putting these big gobs of blood fingerprints on the thing. I said, okay, that's enough. Abort. Just end this video. That ain't going to be a video. But yeah, no, that's basically my carving thing.
I remember that one now.
But no, I don't get too carried away with the cart, but I do think you should have first aid kit, because especially, you know, and I caution people too, when you're out in the backcountry too, and if you're camping, carving and stuff, you better have something, because our knives are too sharp to cut ourselves with. We shouldn't be cutting ourselves, because that's such a great job.
Yep.
Like you can really put yourself in danger if you're far from help, if you cut yourself bad.
Right.
So.
And the trick is, when you're, if you're holding the thing that you're carving, which is what happened to me at 2 a.m., I was finishing up a carving, the backside of it, and slipped. You know, that's basically the only time I ever cut myself when I'm holding it.
Yeah, right? So. Exactly. Otherwise, you're two-handed or whatever with a chisel. But I will say one more thing, too. I've never seen it myself, but the Americans, when I was being mauled bushcraft boy, they used to have in their first aid kit quick clot. And it was pepper. Something that you, something.
I think it has that, pepper in it.
That tendency, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could pour that on, because there was always an occasional axe wound or something, and they would have that, and they just put it on there, and it would stop the bleeding. So
I don't know why that's so funny to me. It's just some guys dinking around with axes, pretending they're cavemen out in the wilderness, just accidentally whack themselves, you know?
Yeah. Well, I came the day after. One guy actually almost took his finger off.
Oh.
He had to get operations to get tendons sewn back together.
Oh, so, what a nightmare. Yeah. That sucks. Yeah. Yowza. So. Well.
You want to do the exit of the mailbag since you didn't do the entrance?
Yeah, I've just realized when we were doing that, I didn't do it.
That was the mailbag.
That was the mailbag. This is the media portion of the show, which you've been listening to.
I'm excited about this one, because I think I did mention this to you, and I have two picks this week.
Sure.
Because I want to give a little tribute and a little talk about our friend and hero, Mr. Gene Messer.
Yay!
Well, Gene put out a video this week saying that he's slowing down. And he won't be putting out the content and the videos that he used to.
Oh.
And he's got thousands of videos at this point.
Wow.
And he attributed it a little bit to his age, and that his eyesight, and you know, we all get older, and also that there's a lot more carvers out there, and that more videos, and he's going to leave it to the younger folks. And I wrote a little note to him, and he wrote a nice thing back. And it was just kind of cute that it's like, age is going to get us all, Gene. And I don't blame him one bit. I said, the content you put out, you deserve to take it easy now.
Yeah.
Well, take it easy. Yeah. And I understand that for myself too. I don't know where I'm headed either, but there is so many more.
I'm surprised you're still at your age, that you're still even upright, man.
It's incredible. Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But something is definitely happening, because I was, and this is not a complaint. Don't take this wrong. I'm not grumbling. My wife always says, when I get into this mood, I start grumbling, but I'm not really grumbling. But like, views are so spread out now. Like, I get a third of the views I got 2 years ago.
Right.
And I don't know how long I can keep going either. Because I always thought I was going to turn into some kind of semi-retirement plan. But I think that's going to have to end up probably being more of a carve and sell plan rather than a YouTube plan, because Yeah.
Well, for my sake, I certainly hope it's both, because I like to see, excuse me, I like to see both things. So I
would. Yeah, like, well, maybe they will. Maybe they will work together. But
I hope so.
Anyway, this wasn't about me. I was just talking about Gene, and a big salute to all his work. And
yeah,
yeah. Awesome. And I appreciate him slowing down. Not that he deserves it.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
not we're gonna miss his content, but and he said he's not done. He's still going to put some stuff out, but he's just slowing down.
Right.
And I said, good. Mm-hmm. Good. You deserve it. But that's good. Do you want to throw one in? Because I got one more.
No, go ahead.
Three. Okay. Well, I think I alluded to this before to you. And I think I've brought her up before, way back in one of the episodes. But it's another Canadian girl. Mm-hmm. And she's over in, I think she's in Alberta. But her name is, I wrote it down, Adria Laycraft, and her channel is Carving the Cottonwood Bark. Hmm. And she carves all these fun things. But this video that really got me was she was touring a cottonwood park, a park of giant cottonwood trees. And at the same time, she had, I think it was probably a phone call interview that was kind of playing while she was walking through, interviewing this fella named Elmer Gunderson. And Elmer is a bark carver, but he carved. So somehow they talk about the story about how he got in, but he was either hired or volunteered to go into this park. And he actually carved a whole whack of faces along the trail in the bark on the tree. So it's pretty cool
that he's cool.
Walking through and there's faces on the living trees, just in the little pieces of bark. So, and Elmer is a good carver. I mean, they're nice faces. And
that's pretty
neat. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really
neat. The thing I appreciated the most was he said that to avoid any vandalism, that he brought a little scaffolding with him. So he got him just out of reach of everybody. But he said the biggest vandals are the woodpeckers.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that and the volunteer woodcarvers who show up thinking they were part of the event and end up just whacking it.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, that's happened to me at art shows. Sometimes I'll be working on a face and somebody comes up and just some little kid puts a giant X right on the face. You're just like, wah, wah. You're like, man, who did that? And you're like,
not me. I thought it was interactive. So check out Carving the Cottonwood Bark with Adria Laycraft.
There you go. Adria Laycraft. Mine is just one person, and it's the late great David Esterly. He has since passed away. Rest in peace, David. Had some brief interaction with him on the via email when I was a little kid, and so he kind of helped me decide that I was going to do carving for a living. I messaged him a bunch of pictures of my stuff, and I said, "Hey, I don't know if I should do this or should go to college." And he was like, "You have some talent or something nice, something be nice to me." Didn't say anything over the top, like, "Yes, quit college, do it." But he's a Harvard alum. I think he went to Stanford as well. Yeah, he's a genius guy. He decided to bring himself to the low levels of a woodcarver. Of course, I'm kidding, but he was a fantastic guy. He wrote this book, and I saw a buddy of mine reading it online who wasn't even a woodcarver. So I thought,
what's it called?
I have to read this. The Lost Carving, A Journey to the Heart of Making by David Esterly. And
I'm intrigued.
Oh, it's good. I'm
intrigued.
It's so fun to read a book that's written by a really smart guy who is just writing about carving, about his story. It's not about how to carve. It's not about, carving 101. What woods to choose when you're carving your mom or something. I don't know, a bird or your sister, whatever. So this is really just a story that you can unwind to.
I can hardly read his last name. Say his last name and spell
David
it.
Esterly.
Esterly, okay.
E-R-L-Y. Yeah. Yeah, so far, I'm only 15 pages in, but I mean, a lot of people like this book, and they probably don't know any. I mean, Eat, Pray, Love person read it and said it was a beautiful, intricate meditation on creativity and discovery, fire, rebirth, culture, and history. Truly, this is a story to be poured over with love and adoration. Actually, birds do show up. I mentioned birds. This is a beautiful and remarkable book. David Easterly is a rare bird, someone says here. That's Sir Ken Robinson, actually. He gives a great speech about why creativity is dying in schools. TED Talk. Really good. Anyway, I don't know. I think if you like carving, he talks about trying to emulate this this piece of art Grinling Gibbons. This really beautiful piece that that was burned up in a fire, a few pieces, and he was hired and he spent a year working for this place to try and replicate or try to make his own version of something to replace one of the greatest carvers in history, and known as just one of the absolute greatest carvers in history. And he talks about how it messed him up psychologically.
Can you give me, like, in 30 seconds or less, the Gibbons story and why there's a museum for just his stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, Gibbons was born in 1652 to a single unwed mother. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that much about him.
Oh, I was just
kidding. I don't know that much about him. I don't know, man.
But I know everyone looks up to that that name big time.
Maybe I'll know more when I'm done with this, but all I know is he was just an awesome relief carver, and he did it. He worked in England and I guess all over the world, and yeah, I wish I knew more. I should, as a carving instructor. You know, Doug, this brings me to a point, and I know we're supposed to be closing now, but brings me to a point. I talked with a buddy of mine recently, and he said, you know what? I don't say that I teach anymore. I say that I'm like a consultant. And I thought, oh, I like that. Because guys like David Easterly, like the real teachers, you know, the real thorough people that know all the history of everything and can go into why mm-hmm. we're doing this and why this and that, like a Vic Hood type, I'm not that guy. I can help you. You can consult with me in the class, and I'll tell you what I think you should do, but I'm not the guy to go, you know, go into, well, the history of this and the, you know, I like that better. More lighthearted. Lower your expectations.
There you go.
That's all I've got.
That's all I got. So I believe that's all they get.
Take your vitamins.
There you go. See you next week, guys.